Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. If you could go back and change some things from your wedding night, what would they be? Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy, the sex and intimacy podcast for Catholic women. My name is Ellen Holloway, and I am a Catholic speaker and coach who specializes in sex and marital intimacy, and I am on a mission to help you actually enjoy and desire good, holy sex with your spouse. And with me on this episode today, we have Kathleen Chivanis, our semi-regular co-host and femme instructor. Today, we are going to be talking a little bit about what we would do if we had the ability to go back and change something from our wedding night. And then we are really going to dig into what ultimately we are all looking for when it comes to sex and intimacy within our marriage. We are going to be talking about the holiness of sex and how we actually integrate that into our hearts and our minds and our marriage as a whole. Let's dig in. Like,
yeah,
your wedding night. Let's talk about what was the number one thing that you're just like, man, if I could have a do-over, if I could just change one thing, what would it be, Kathleen?
I would not have told my husband how tired I was. Our wedding reception was on my in-laws' farm. So we partied until like midnight. Like it was, and the wedding was at like 2 o'clock. So it had been a long day. And then we finally got back to our hotel and I was just beat. And I was willing, but I was not enthusiastic because I was just so tired. And yeah, in retrospect, I do feel awful about it. Like I feel really, really bad. Like that man had waited 24 years for that moment. And I was like, I mean, we waited 24 years. We could wait one more day, right? And he was like, nope. I was like, okay, yeah, fair enough.
He's like,
which, like, was that joke is probably what I would not have done. Not have made that joke.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You know, because I think, like, just the open communication about, like, wow, I am really exhausted. Like, yeah. I think that's good. That's good to share and be open and honest.
Yeah, sure.
But making the joke about it might have, well, it sounds like it didn't come off well.
It did not come off well. And like I said, I was beyond willing, but I was tired. And I struggle with enthusiasm when I am tired. So, yeah, that would
I think we all do.
Honestly, yeah, I probably just would have left before midnight. I mean, it was a good party, so it was hard to leave. But I probably would have been like, hey, we got to be out of here by like 10 o'clock, right?
9 o'clock. Can I just say that, like, you know, consummating the marriage is the reason why traditionally, like, the new husband and wife, they leave the part, like, and I'm talking about, you know, back in the, you know, 1800s kind of a thing, like a traditional wedding, they would have left the party like right after church. The party wasn't for the bride and groom. Like the bride and groom, the bride's parents set up a dinner to like thank everybody for coming, but the bride and groom didn't go.
Like, that's so interesting.
They went to their honeymoon. Like they left from church. Like I think it's in Anne of Green Gables that happens. And that was the first time that I had like learned that.
That is so interesting.
Yeah, you know what? If you're listening to this and like you're coming up on your wedding, like maybe think about that. Like maybe you should leave the party early so that you have energy, because this is arguably 10 million times more important than the party is.
Yeah, I'll tell you honestly. Sex. So we just the other weekend had our friends got married, and their wedding was at 11 o'clock. And the reception went until 4, and then it was done. Like, everything was done. And I was like, wow, there is something to that. Yeah, it was great.
Let's bring that back.
Mm-hmm. And it was, like, it was in the church basement, which was a very nice church basement. It wasn't just, like, a dingy hall. It was very nice. But so everyone just went right from Mass down to the basement for the party, and everything was done by 4. And I was like, wow, that's not a bad idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know, anyway. We get so wrapped up, I think, in just like, oh my gosh, like the party, and it has to be awesome, and it has to be all the things that I want as, you know, the bride and groom. And it's just like,
traditionally speaking, the party wasn't for you. And like the fact that you hang out at the party is just making you exhausted. So I don't know. Maybe just don't go to your wedding reception. Just kidding.
Very possible.
But like, think about leaving early. Like, I remember my husband and I, we left at like 10, I think, and everybody stuck around and cleaned up.
Like,
and so we didn't have to clean up, right? But like, we left and everybody said goodbye to us. And like, and then like, they sort of kept partying slash cleaning up afterward.
Yeah.
And yeah, they didn't leave until like midnight. So,
yeah, no, that's, but that's when we left.
And that's fine.
Left, okay, well, how about you? What would you change if you could?
So, surprisingly opposite to you. My husband had offered, you know, hey, we don't have to have sex tonight. And I wish I had taken him up on the offer.
Interesting.
I had gotten so wrapped up in my head that this is what we had to do and this is how it goes and this, you know, this is what a husband and wife do. And, you know, if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you've heard bits and pieces of my story of just like, I was very negatively impacted by just this, you know, sex is bad and dirty. And so then I was trying to reconcile that in my head in the course of like a few hours. I was just like, we have to do this because this is what we're supposed to do. And then of course, like that's when I learned that I suffered from vaginismus, and that then led to like a 6-month process before we actually were able to physically consummate the marriage, like, because I had such an acute vaginismus that like penetration was impossible. And like, I just wish I had trusted my husband that he, you know, that we didn't have to, check this box. Like, we could just slowly get to know each other's bodies and just like cuddle or just look at each other naked and just enjoy the fact that like, this is a new step in our relationship. Yeah. That's now, you know, that's now a part of our chaste relationship. And that was just, I just look back on that time and I put so much pressure on myself in those first 6 months of marriage to like, to do this thing.
Yeah.
But, it was never about love. It was never about a gift of self. It was never about being open and receiving. Like, it was all about just doing it because I was supposed to.
Yeah. Checking off
the box. And that makes me sad.
Yeah. I think honestly that a lot of women can relate to that. Because I will say, and I honestly, like, I had a lot of introspection happening last week for me. And one of the things that I was really, like, reflecting on is that, like, it's hilarious because I talk about sex, like, everywhere. Right? Like sex from a Catholic perspective. I talk about it here. I talk about it in vocation talks in my diocese, right? Like, I talk about it at marriage prep with, like, you know, with the NFP talk. Like, I talk about it when I'm, like, seeing clients. Like, I talk about it freaking everywhere. But still, I had this realization that I struggle to see sex in my own marriage and relationship as holy and as a gift, and not just as something that we're supposed to do. And like, I know all of these things, right? Like, I know them and I believe them, but my heart doesn't understand them. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I had to realize the other day, that it does often feel like, okay, check it off. Like, are we using all of our available days? Or like, are we doing it enough? You know what I mean? Like, check, check, check. And not this like deep understanding in my heart of like the meaning of it all, even though my brain knows the meaning, like my mind knows the meaning, but my heart doesn't understand it.
Yeah. And that's ultimately, that's the Christian journey.
Yeah.
Is taking knowledge of God, taking knowledge of our faith and moving it from our head to our heart, to it actually transforming us, right? Like, you know, we think about what's popping into my head is like the Transfiguration, which is a very extreme example.
Yeah.
But yeah. I was trying to think of something more simple, but that's what came to my head. So thanks, Holy Spirit. Right. But like, you know, Jesus brought the three guys up the mountain and was like, look, this is what I've been talking about. This, right? And they're all like, oh my gosh, what is going on? Like, this is crazy, right? And I think in some way, or maybe just completely, I'm not a biblical scholar, but like Jesus was trying to explain to them, like, I've been teaching you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been telling you all this stuff. And like, on an intellectual level, y'all get it. But I can tell you don't understand it in your heart, mm-hmm. right? And like, Peter's like, hey, this is great, Lord. Let's set up some tents or whatever. And Jesus is like, stop yeah. trying to do this from the intellectual point of view. Like, right. just receive this gift that I gave you of seeing me in all my glory. Or maybe still slightly veiled, because like, let's be real, I think they would have
like dropped dead.
Yeah, burned up in flame or something.
Yeah.
But I love the Transfiguration. I love that story. And we do that so much. And I feel like I've been hearing this a lot, just in like DMs on Instagram, or just different, or I'll see other people kind of like posting on Instagram about just like, well, I get it. I get that sex is holy. I get that sex is good. But like, I still can't translate that to the bedroom.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really hard work to take the knowledge and translate it to the bedroom. And like, here's the thing, is like, knowledge is never the problem. It's mm-hmm. easy to learn. It's so easy to learn. Like, you can pick up a book about anything
yeah.
and read it, yeah. right? But actually applying it to your life, that's the hard part. Like, that's the part that you need accompaniment for. That is the part that you need maybe a coach for in a little bit more of like a one-on-one situation. Like, that is where you need a friend that you can talk to, or a small group, or just like regular, you know, like you listening to the podcast. I'm so happy that you listen to the podcast, and I'm yeah. so happy that you are learning all of this stuff. But are you translating it to your sex life?
Yeah.
Are you growing from all of this stuff?
Yeah.
Because if you're not, then, well, let's do something about it.
Let's figure that out. Yeah.
Let's figure it out. Let's do something, right? Are you feeling like you need to do something about this? I have a very time-sensitive offer for you that is honestly exactly what you're looking for. I'm partnering with moral theologian and Catholic sex and intimacy expert Sarah Bartel, who has been on the podcast a couple of times before, and we are going to be doing a journey through the Song of Songs starting on January 17th, 2024. That is this Wednesday, if you're listening to this episode the week it comes out. We're going to take 4 weeks and learn what God has to teach us about marriage and our intimate life through His Word. This is part Bible study, part group coaching, part small group, and it's going to be all amazing. So go to vinesinfullbloom.com/songofsongs or click the link that's in the show notes here, and be sure to sign up before January 17th to join us. The last thing I wanted to say is that this is not ever something that you will arrive at. Yeah. Like, this is something that you will continually need to work on. Because, like, I can look back on my wedding night and say, wow, I had no understanding whatsoever of the holiness of sex. Like, literally none.
Yeah.
And compared to then, I mean, if, like, that Ellen on my wedding night saw where I'm at right now, I would think I have arrived. Absolutely.
Right.
But like, I know I haven't arrived.
Yeah.
I know that there is still stuff I have to work through all the time, of just like not wanting to have sex, feeling like it's a checklist item. Like, you know, we go in and out of these seasons. And so I think I just sort of want to give a word of encouragement that like, if you listen to this and you're like crestfallen that like Kathleen doesn't think sex is holy, like that's not...
No, Kathleen knows. She knows sex is holy,
right?
But like, she knows it. Yeah,
we are all on this journey of taking this intellectual knowledge and getting it into our heart. And well, and it's not even about like getting it into our heart. It's about opening up our heart to this beauty and this truth. And then like running with it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, just a couple weeks ago, we did a vocations talk at one of the high schools in our diocese. And, you know, Michael had the boys, I had the girls, along with two sisters who were just phenomenal.
It's awesome.
It was great. But it was so funny because it came out, this all came out in the freshman class of all people. I feel like maybe the Holy Spirit needed someone in there to hear it. But the question came up, like, what do you wish you knew as a teenager, right? Like about marriage and all that's involved. And I had to be honest and say that the thing that I wish I was told and understood what sex actually was. Because here I am at 35 years old, knowing what it is, but like we just said, struggling to understand it and to believe it and to not even believe it. I believe it, but to apply it, you know what I mean? That definition and that meaning to my life. And I think that young couples, like just getting married, right? Like find themselves in that space a lot where it's just like maybe you've already been having sex, right? And like, it's just, it's this like urge, this desire, right? That just like needs to be quenched and satiated versus like this renewal of vows, this intense theological, like, I mean, thing. You know what I mean? It's weighty. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. It makes us like God in the sense that it creates, it co-creates, right? Like no one ever, I mean, how many chastity talks did I sit through as a teenager where it was like, don't do it because you give yourself away, right? Versus like, don't do it now because it is so good and powerful. Like it is like, if someone had told me that it was a representation of your marriage vows, then I would have understood like, oh, that makes sense that I shouldn't do it now. I don't have any vows to recommit to, right? Like that makes sense. It's just like how we talk about it to even like young people is just like, it has an effect in your vocation later on, you know, like it's just like teaching a child anything. Right? Like, if you really want them to understand something, you need to teach it to them starting from day one, right? Like, you need to teach them young so that they grow up and that understanding is instilled there, and then it can just continue to grow and blossom, right? Versus, like, trying to just keep them from doing something. You just give them some baloney because you're just trying to keep them from doing something, and then later on, they have to start understanding, oh, wait, that's why we were never allowed to do that, right? Like, I don't know. It ended up coming out, and these freshmen, I think, were kind of like all bug-eyed. They were just like, wait, oh my gosh, how did we get into this conversation?
Something that I like to say when I'm giving like a teen talk, like chastity talk. I hate calling it a chastity talk.
I know.
But sex isn't bad before marriage and good in marriage. That's not what it is. Sex is a good thing. Sex is a very, very good thing. Like, it represents God. It represents the Trinity, and it also represents God's relationship with humanity.
Yeah.
So sex is not bad before marriage and good after marriage. Sex is holy. And because sex is imaging the infinite and eternal God, it has to, for the health of our human nature, for our mental sanity, it has to be within a covenantal forever bond where we can freely give our entire selves, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're imaging infinite and we're imaging eternal. So the way that we image infinite is giving our whole selves. That's as close as we can get to infinite. And the way that we image eternal is by, like, you know, consciously or subconsciously, you know, within that covenantal bond, right? Saying, that there is a fidelity to this. There is a permanence to this relationship. Like,
yeah,
sex, and a lot of times I'll say something along these lines, like if I'm talking more personally with someone, maybe not in a presentation, because this could be taken wrong. But it's like, sex isn't sex unless it's in marriage. Like, it just isn't. It is a twisted, like, mockery of sex. Like, sex outside of marriage is just this mockery of what sex is actually supposed to be. Yeah. And so, yeah, we have this, like, it is weighty, right? But then if we go too far on the pendulum swing there, then it starts getting too serious and difficult for us to actually engage in. But yeah, I mean, this, all of this understanding is for, like, Kathleen and I. Like, if you're listening to this and you're like, wow, yes, but
yeah,
mm-hmm. Like, this has been Kathleen and I wrestling for years, and like Kathleen and I wrestling separately and then coming together, and like she and I have grown so much just in the like 2.5 years that we've known each other, and just like being able to share. And gosh, I wish I had Kathleen like not on my wedding night, but like
I don't wish I was on your wedding night either.
No, I don't wish you were there.
Seriously. And I think that's a really important point to make, is that, like, there's been a long time where we haven't, I mean, and that's the whole point of this podcast, right? Like, we haven't been able to freely discuss these things with people that we trust, and to brainstorm and ask questions and, you know, look for shared experience, right? And again, that's the whole point of this podcast. And I think so many other people too are working to change that, to make this a conversation that's normal and healthy and helpful. And so, you know, listening to the podcast is like awesome and great, and any other podcast that shares these things, but also like try to normalize this conversation amongst your friends and your peers who are in a similar stage, right? Like, you need community around this, like, which is funny because it's like such a personal and intimate thing, but you need that community. You need to share this with other people so that, because it's not easy. It's a journey, right? It is. It's a journey. So if you like feel like, oh, my friends don't talk about this stuff, like, maybe be that change. Like, start searching for these conversations amongst your friends, and maybe they'll be squeamish and uncomfortable, but like, you know, don't pressure them, I guess, but open the door for conversation, because they need it and you need it and we all need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would like to ask Ellen if you could rate your wedding night out of 10 stars.
What a great way to end this episode. Ah. Oh man. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to give it a solid 5, and let me explain why.
Wow.
I know. That seems kind of high, right? Compared to, like, what I said. Here's why I'm going to give it a solid 5, is that, like, I would give it a 0 out of 10 on the whole, like, actually having sex thing, because we didn't.
Right, yeah.
But I would give it a 10 out of 10 of the, like, that was my first opportunity that I learned. I mean, and I know this is going to sound kind of bonkers, but like, I learned that my husband actually cared about me.
Mm.
Like, really, really cared about me. And like, that was the beginning of like a journey. And I know it's like, you just got married to the guy. Like, didn't you know that already? But it was just like, I just honestly, I think I got married to, like, I just like didn't understand. I didn't understand any of this. Like, by the grace of God, like, I learned about what I actually committed to, you know, a year or two into our marriage. But it's just like, I got this initial taste of, this is your partner who is gonna stick with you through the crap and through the good.
Yeah.
And so that's why I would give it like a 5 out of 10, because it's like sort of these two polar opposites of like bad, but really, really good too.
Right. Yeah.
What about you, Kathleen?
Yeah. I'm going to give it like a 4.5 out of 10.
four and a half.
But here's the thing, and my husband's going to listen to this, so he's going to be like, excuse me, but it was a 4.5 out of 10 because of me, not because of him. That's what I would say. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything that I didn't necessarily expect. I expected it to be uncomfortable. I didn't expect it to be like this mind-blowing, you know, sort of like movie, Hollywood movie experience. So I think my expectations were realistic, but I wish that I had done more to make it more fun and more memorable. It was like completely me and my lameness and my tiredness that made it a 4.5 out of 10. Also, no one talked to me about lube. So
yeah.
That well, also, to our honestly,
tips for your first time episode.
Yeah, if we had known about that, I mean, not that we didn't know that it was a thing, but it was just not like on the list of like, make sure you have this, right? Like, no one ever no one ever told us that. If we had told us that, that would have brought it up to a 5, no doubt.
Yeah, the next bridal shower that I go to, like, I always like give lingerie because I'm just like, I'm the sex lady, like, who cares?
There you go, absolutely.
just that is what I give, right? But like, I need to definitely like add in like a lube variety pack. Like
here, yeah.
Test out some things. Including almond oil, because that's my top recommendation.
I revolutionized my friend's bachelorette party a couple weeks ago. Changed those girls' lives by telling them about almond oil.
Oh, I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy to hear that.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.